Thanks for listening to the best of the Ben Maller Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight from 2 to 6 Eastern, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And to find your local station for the Ben Maller Show at foxsportsradio.com, you can find it there. Or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
This is the best of the Ben Maller Show on Fox Sports Radio.
What a jag, huh? Welcome in the beginning of another edition of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we chatterbox coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR emanating live from inside your eardrums, providing marginal sports talk radio all night long from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Here we are together, side by side. Isn't that amazing? So our lead this hour comes from the shrink's chair, if you will, specifically the NFL draft, now less than 2 weeks away, and the future of Trevor Lawrence, which is all but done. We know what's going to happen, don't we? But if you didn't see this story, maybe you haven't been paying attention because of other things going on, I will give you the brief recap. So Sports Illustrated, which apparently is still a thing, I used to read that all the time when I was a kid, and then think the internet came along, and then that was it. But apparently Sports Illustrated is still in business, and they recently did a big write-up on the presumptive number one pick in the NFL draft from Jacksonville. And according to the patriarch of the Lawrence family, this is the interesting stuff. I'm going to skip out all the other bull crap. I'm just going to give you the interesting stuff. So according to the patriarch of the Lawrence family, Trevor Lawrence isn't a win a Super Bowl at all costs type of guy. Not his driving force. You say, okay, you can overlook that. A lot of players in the NFL, you know, they'd like to win, but they don't really have that as the end-all be-all. He's not in the minority on that. Although you don't normally say it, and this was his dad saying it. But wait, there's more. Trevor Lawrence's old high school coach was interviewed by SI and said that the quarterback out of Clemson could walk away from football at any time and be perfectly fine. Whoa. Now, in the article I am referencing here, Lawrence himself announced that he has nothing to prove. How about that? Quote, I think that's unhealthy, you know, proving stuff. Just always thinking, Lawrence said, this is a quote, that you've got to prove somebody wrong. You've got to do more. You've got to be better. Lawrence doesn't want any of that. All right, so you know what this calls for. All right, these comments call for, it is the time of the show where we parse the story around Trevor Lawrence. And again, in a nutshell, it's his dad saying he's not really that worried about Super Bowls. His high school coach, he could quit and walk away. Lawrence himself saying that he's not a prove-it guy. He doesn't want to prove anything to you. Who are you? All right, so let us discuss the question. How concerned should Urban Meyer be with these quotes percolating out of this article from Sports Illustrated? So my observations, you've got the electrician, beavers, and Olympics. And we will lock all of these things together into a Maller monologue, and we will start right now with number one. So Urban Meyer can spin. He can join the spin doctors if he wants, but this is problematic on several levels for the Jaguars. Trevor Lawrence's quotes are, you know, it's enough, the people around him, the people that were close to him, and his own quote, enough to give you an ulcer if you take a step back. And you have to make a pile of, you know, on one side you've got players X and the other side you got players Y. You go back and forth on this, but the players that are motivated by criticism, if you made a pile of those players on one side, and then on the other side, you put a pile of players that are not motivated by criticism, which pile do you think is going to be bigger? Ding, 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 ding. That is correct, right? Now, that doesn't mean that there's different things you can do here. You can, it's kind of like an orange, right? There's a couple of different ways you can peel an orange. But every all-time great, every single all-time great in my experience watching sports in my life, their driving force has been the haterade. So much so, it's become a trope. It's cliche. One of the greats of all time, Michael Jordan, in his Hall of Fame speech, Michael Jordan thanked his detractors for the motivation. He credited them for being the driving force behind his legacy with the Chicago Bulls and his work ethic in those years in his NBA career. And Jordan needed this jet fuel, even pulling some of it out of thin air, to get the engine started. You hear similar things about Tom Brady, and it just continues on and on. It sounds like, to me, it sounds like Trevor Lawrence needs to call an electrician, because it appears to be a wiring issue. There's like I'm not sure what it is, but it from the sound of it, he's not hardwired the way that you would like the number one pick in the NFL draft to be hardwired. It's problematic. Now, the second thing here, while Trevor Lawrence says it's unhealthy to try and prove critics wrong, that part of it's troubling, right? The even more concerning statement, though, is the one that came from the high school coach. That the coach who said he could walk away tomorrow and be fine, close quote. You draft a quarterback at the very, very top, and you have other options. Now, they're not as good as this guy, but you have other options. You're expecting that player to not only be a foundational player, but obviously be there for the long term, unless they get hurt. But reading the room here, the implication I got from this story, the implication was that Trevor Lawrence just doesn't have that deep-rooted passion for football. It's not the most important thing to him. And you can say, who cares about that? But I always say, remember the tuna. I always say, remember the tuna. Bill Parcells, the model which he started and then was hijacked by Bill Belichick with the Patriots. And Parcells used to rant and rave, I want beavers, he would say, right? He'd go on and on like that. And he'd say, well, why do you want beavers? Well, what do beavers do? All they do is chop down trees, right? Nothing else. All their only goal there is to chop down trees. And Parcells would say, I just want people that think about football, right? All that. And a lot of meathead football coaches have said that over the years. Well, if that's your goal, if you're Urban Meyer, for example, then it would appear that Trevor Lawrence is not for you. Now, in light of Andrew Luck, you can't have a conversation about a quarterback with bohemian tendencies without bringing up Andrew Luck, who quit. Call it what it is. He's a quitter, Andrew Luck, on the Indianapolis Colts. He didn't retire at the end of a season and then not come back. No, he led the Colts on that he was going to play another season. And then a couple weeks before the start of the regular season, he says, that's it. I don't feel like playing. I'm done. Right? So now this is no big deal until it becomes a big deal. So the question, do you really want to set yourself up for more future heartburn in Duval County? Now, similar things were said about Andrew Luck. I recall when he was at Stanford, he was the nerdy quarterback. He was different than other quarterbacks before him and all that stuff. And yet, when Andrew Luck quit and couldn't hack the NFL anymore, people were acting blindsided when he sashayed away. They were like, well, I can't believe it. I can't. Another guy that comes up here on this list of quarterbacks that in recent drafts have had this tag where, football's not the most important thing, Josh Rosen, right? Josh Rosen was also tagged as a guy who, he's a tennis player, he's good at football at UCLA, he didn't really love football, he didn't need football, came from some money, and he has been a total zero in the NFL, an abject failure, an abject failure. And there are more examples, but those are the ones that I wanted to use right now. All right, final point. So if I was running the Jaguars, I would be going DEFCON 1 is what I would be doing. I'm talking lights and sirens emergency, because we are now less than 2 weeks away from the draft, and the Messiah, the projected savior of Jacksonville football, has just popped a tire. There's a flat tire there for Lawrence. Now, in terms of raw talent, you would be delighted to take Trevor Lawrence, and that's ultimately what's going to happen. He's been teasing NFL scouts for years. Every quarterback in the league, though, is what? You get in the NFL because you have tremendous talent. You have a great skill set. But the margins are razor thin, and so it's kind of like the Olympics, right? The Olympics come around every so often, and the difference between a gold medal and not even getting a medal is often milliseconds in many of the Olympic events. And so to me, it's very similar with the quarterback. Tom Brady, as great as Brady's been, there's another parallel dimension where Brady never got a shot and then went back and tried to play baseball and failed and then ended up selling insurance, right, in that other dimension. I mean, so we're talking about milliseconds. The difference between good and bad is really often the minute details. And because there are so many variables to consider in the NFL draft, it's one of the things that I complain about all the time about the draft. I don't like it. I'm not a big fan because it's a total crapshoot most of the time. You take a guy like Trevor Lawrence, you look at the comps, you say athletically and his ability, he should be great. But then you look at the other stuff, you're like, well, he's not really that into it. And his high school coach said he could just walk away. And you're like, what do we have here? Right? Is this a fake it till you make it type situation? But the variables, all things being equal, attitude, motivation, desire to be an all-time great, those are gargantuan things you have to consider. I mean, it's as plain as the nose on your face here. Now, there is a grand conspiracy that has been bouncing around the pinball machine of sports talk. And since I do overnights, I'm allowed to go down conspiracy theory avenue, and I've got my trusty tinfoil hat on. So the conspiracy theory is that this is an intentional act, that Trevor Lawrence's, his camp has concerns about Jacksonville, even though he's a Southern boy, the last ditch push to avoid having to play for the Jags, and that people around Trevor Lawrence would rather he play in New York, number two pick. The Jets have the number two pick. That would provide more off-the-field revenue. Imagine how upset, though, the people that spent all that money on that high-end toaster would be if Lawrence ends up not going to play in Jacksonville. Now, what are the odds that something crazy happens? You can't say zero. You can never say zero. I mean, there could be a big scandal between now and the beginning of the NFL draft. There's a lot of things that we can't predict, but as far as the odds that Jacksonville does not take Trevor Lawrence or ends up making some kind of trade, I'm going to say it's plus 9,000, which implies there is a chance, but it's a 1% chance. Right? You always leave that 1%. Would you take the 99 or the 1%? Unlikely, but you never say never, because nobody knows anything. And it's the old chaos theory that percolates and continues to percolate.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Gone in a flash. Welcome in the beginning of another hour of the Ben Maller Show. We are in the air everywhere as we channel our inner windbag coast to coast, border to border, and beyond on the vast and powerful microphones of FSR, emanating live from under the moonlight, camouflaged by the darkness here, the Fox Sports Radio studios, and we are back at it again. Our lead this hour comes from Pro Bouncy Ball. It was the big story of the day. It relates to the Brooklyn Nets, specifically the future of LaMarcus Aldridge, one of their big pickups not that long ago. And if you have not been paying attention and you somehow missed it, you were living in a bubble, LaMarcus Aldridge will never play for the Nets again, at least if you take his word on it. He abruptly retired from the NBA. Now, he's got a good reason for it. Why did he retire? He experienced an irregular heartbeat. Imagine how scary that would be during what proved to be his final game with Brooklyn, and then exited stage right. Aldridge posting a prepared statement on social media saying that the heart issue, which he's had his entire career, was one of the scariest things he's ever experienced. It happened in a Nets-Lakers game, which was also a very scary experience for gamblers who figured that was a gimme. Now, LaMarcus was diagnosed with this syndrome that causes a rapid heartbeat. This was when he was a rookie. I remember when he came into the NBA, he was drafted by the Bulls, traded to the Blazers, and then he missed a handful of games. They were trying to figure out what was going on. There was some question whether or not he was going to be able to play at all because of the heart issue. And we've seen basketball players that have had heart problems, and then ended up like dying on the court. Like, this has happened multiple times over the years. And so they got it under control. And for the most part, LaMarcus Aldridge has not had many setbacks until now. But he wrote, for 15 years, he had put basketball first, and now it is time to put my health and my family first, he said. So this led to former Blazer teammate, current Blazer superstar Dame Lillard, to go over the top, calling for his franchise. He's the big man on campus there in Portland, to retire LaMarcus Aldridge's number 12 jersey. And he wasn't kidding, by the way. This was not some kind of joke, and he was not just buttering biscuits. He said in some podcast interview, it's time for the Blazers to retire number 12. He had an amazing career in a Trailblazers uniform. But wait, there's more. Damian Lillard added, there is no denying the kind of career that he had in Portland and what he meant to this city. Okay. So I think that the proper respect is to retire that jersey because of who he was and what he did for this organization. All right, so let us discuss. The question, let's focus in on that. Let's kind of lock in on that. So the question, is LaMarcus Aldridge's career in Portland number retirement worthy? I'm shaking my head no. Keep in mind, he is a Hall of Famer, but he still should not have his number retired. Both these things can be true. Both these things can be accurate. Now, my thoughts on this, you've got DeForest, Skittles, and Hunter S. Thompson. And we will tie all of these things together. Now, Damian Lillard, great player, fun to watch. On this one, he's completely wrong. Bad take by Damian Lillard. He's out of his bloody mind. Pump the brakes on LaMarcus Aldridge having his number retired. It's an overreaction. Overreaction. And as an impartial, open-minded observer, hiding out in the overnight, this thing is absurd, right? In the courtroom, if you were to try this like it was in a courtroom, Damian Lillard would be tagged as a biased witness, okay? A biased witness. Now, I get it, right? He was teammates for a couple of years in Portland. There's a kinship there. There's a bond, the fraternal order of professional athletes. And the issue, though, is he's too far into the forest to see the trees. It's problematic. It's kind of like going up to a parent and saying, hey, do you think your kid should be on honor roll? Like, 99.9% of parents who are any, you know, halfway decent are saying, well, of course, blindly, yes. But listen, Aldridge put up stats. There's no debating that. He had statistical success with the Trailblazers. And my position is just about anybody can put up stats. He averaged about 21-8, I think, somewhere in that area when he was with the Blazers. But there's other criteria, right? Like, were you part of great teams? That's a team thing, not an individual thing, but it does go a long way to you getting the number retired. Were you beloved? Oh, my God, you were beloved. You have to have that, right? We have had way too many numbers retired in sports. I have been a long-time anti- not anti-vaxxer. I've been an anti-number retirement guy, right? The NBA especially. The Mark Eaton, the only tangible skill Mark Eaton had in his era was blocking shots for the Utah Jazz. The Jazz retired his number. I have nothing against Mark Eaton. I think it's absurd that his number at 53 is retired in Salt Lake. Dikembe Mutombo has had his number retired by two different teams, the Nuggets and the Hawks. The Celtics, like the Yankees in baseball, the Celtics have retired so many numbers. Cedric Maxwell, Cornbread, has his number retired by the Celtics. The Cavaliers retired Zildrunas Ilgauskas' number. If you remember him, the big burly center has his number retired. Tim Hardaway, who I always associated with the Golden State Warriors, his number is retired by the Miami Heat. I can go on, but I'm just using these as examples. Let's put the stops on this, and we don't need to retire LaMarcus Aldridge's number. It's okay. You can say he had a good career and all that, and we have been advocates of the Ring of Honor, and we think teams should do that rather than retire numbers. Now, part B of this. There are many in the basketball media, and Damian Lillard included in this, who are guilty of what we call being a prisoner of the moment. Right? This is a let it breathe situation. Take a deep breath. Meditate, right? You got to meditate a little bit. We have some people trying to, I believe, rewrite history. And one of the blessings and the curses of being in this chair for a long time is I have been bloviating in the middle of the night about different stories over the years. And so I have a vague memory of some of these stories. And so when it comes to LaMarcus Aldridge and Damian Lillard talking about how beloved he was and how he did so much for the community in Portland, well, there was a different song that was playing several years back, and the reality, and I'm about to give you a reality check, right? A little reality check. LaMarcus Aldridge, at least by the end, I don't know if it started this way, but I know by the end of his time in Oregon, he loathed having to play for the Trailblazers. He felt Portland was too small a pond for him. It was a boring city. And there were rumors for years before he finally ended up leaving as a free agent, but Portland considered trading him. They didn't. He wasn't happy. I remember it was one year there was a scandal because, not really a scandal, but there was a controversy because Aldridge, anticipating that he was going to be traded and he wanted to be traded, he like did not renew any of his sponsorships, like his car deal. He had all these local sponsors in Portland and he bailed out on all of them. And it was a decent story locally there in Portland. Then he became a free agent. He skedaddled to hang out with our buddy Charlie in San Antonio with the Spurs, a Western Conference rival of the Blazers. Now, as for the argument that LaMarcus Aldridge should have his number retired because he's going in the Hall of Fame, this argument doesn't hold water with me. Right, not every Hall of Famer has their number retired, nor should they. Right? Why? In basketball, the Naismith Memorial Basketball Hall of Fame, they have what's known as an open door policy when it comes to the Hall of Fame. They hand out Hall of Fame bids like you would hand out those little mini packets of Skittles on Halloween. You get a packet, you get a packet, you get an invitation, you get an invitation. Just to prove my point, I often bring up the name Muffet McGraw, but it's unfair to Muffet McGraw because there's other Hall of Famers that are just a big a joke. Dino Raja, who played for the Celtics, made zero All-Star games as an NBA player, is in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. Sharunas Marshalonis, you might not remember him unless you're old, but he played for the Golden State Warriors and some other teams. He averaged less than 13 points a game with Golden State, no All-Star games. He's in the Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. So we can go on and on. Now, the last word here. How big a blow is the LaMarcus Aldridge injury for the Brooklyn Nets, right? Well, on the Mather scale of concern, 1 to 10, with 10 being play taps, it's all over. This is only a 3. I'm only going a 3. And I believe I'm going high on the Mather scale of concern for LaMarcus Aldridge as far as the Nets are concerned. Now, why am I going 3? because, again, this is another situation where people are reacting, I believe, disproportionately to the situation. And there's a quote from the great writer, the great late writer, Hunter S. Thompson, who said, "You can't miss what you never had." And for all intents and purposes, Brooklyn never had LaMarcus Aldridge. You know how many games he played? Five. He played five games in a Nets uniform. He took a total of 130 minutes. That's it. That's a nanosecond in the big picture. And so Brooklyn will go as far as the Three Musketeers take them, but that didn't really change. Kevin Durant, James Harden, and Uncle Drew, right? Those are the three guys that have to lead the way, period, hard stop. And now Brooklyn, they're going to have to pull. The interesting part of the Nets side of this is now that LaMarcus Aldridge is kaput and on ice and good for him, heart, you don't mess around with the heart. Life's a very fragile thing, right? And the fragility of life, so fine. But the Nets now have to pull a Jen Psaki at the White House and circle back to DeAndre Jordan.
Who?
And this is where it gets awkward. This is where it gets awkward because, now, listen, I am a fan of DeAndre, my guy, my homie from the Lob City Clipper days back in the glory days, before the new glory days for the Clippers with Kawhi. But he was deep in the doghouse with the Nets, DeAndre Jordan. There were people talking about him being bought out because he did not have a role on the Nets. He was on the naughty list. They brought LaMarcus Aldridge in to replace the minutes that DeAndre Jordan was playing. He was marginalized, and even though they considered getting rid of DeAndre Jordan, now they need him. They need those alley-oop hammer dunks from DJ, right? This guy coming down like a Mack truck with a power dunk in your face, right? That's what they got. Now, they had him on standby, and we'll see what he's got left there for the Nets, but that's the move. But again, it all goes back to Durant, Harden, and Kyrie Irving. Those are the three guys. Everything else, it's like an extra piece of pie. I like an extra piece of pie. I wouldn't turn down an extra piece of pie, but if I don't get an extra piece of pie, I'm okay. My life's not going to change dramatically. It's the Maller scale of pie.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
All right, let's get to it. Here we go.
It's Maller.
How about that?
To the third degree. This is when Big Ben gets grilled.
Coop Dalu.
So Major League Baseball is testing out a pretty radical rule change in the Atlantic League by having the mound moved a foot further away from home plate. Now, this is because so many pitchers now are throwing at such high speeds that they're thinking moving the mound back may create some more contact. Ben, you think this is a good idea?
All right, so the word for this is unnecessary, right? The reason that contact is down is because it is not a focal point. It's not a point of emphasis for hitters in professional baseball today. If baseball wants to get contact back, then they should pay for contact. They don't pay for that. They pay for this dopey Fugazi launch angle. That's where the money is. If you valued the approach like Tony Gwynn or Wade Boggs had back in the day, then that would change. And the other thing, from what I have been hearing and from what I have been reading, moving the mound back 1 foot will give the batters like eighth of a 100th of a second more to react to pitches. Now, it's only an experiment, and that's why they have this minor league set up, and they destroyed minor league baseball, got rid of a bunch of teams, because they want to use this as Frankenstein's laboratory. But I don't think it's necessary. The mound has always been 60 feet, 6 inches. The bases have been 90 feet, whether it's Cy Young, Babe Ruth, Clayton Kershaw, whoever. All right, next.
So reports not too long ago had Mac Jones to the 49ers as a lock. And then now we're hearing that that shouldn't be believed, and the 49ers are actually targeting Justin Fields. Ben, who should the 49ers be targeting?
Well, none of the above. But they got to pick, gun to your head, you got to pick somebody. It would be Justin Fields, right? The only red flag on Justin Fields is the stigma of being a quarterback from the Ohio State University That is not a pro. USC quarterbacks haven't done well in the NFL. Ohio State quarterbacks haven't done that well in the NFL. But in terms of athletic ability, skill set, he is the prototypical quarterback for the 2020s. Justin Fields checks every box in that department. Mac Jones does not. Mac Jones is like a 1957 Cadillac, big, bulky, outdated, can get it done, too slow, a little clunky. Can be effective, but you didn't draft a guy like that in the first round. All right, next.
So it seems like Ben Simmons is just going after everyone. The other day you talked about Simmons taking shots at the Nets, and now he's going after Rudy Gobert. He said he should win Defensive Player of the Year over Gobert, not only because he can guard all five positions and Gobert can't, but also because he's not considered a scorer and he dropped 42 on Gobert. Does Simmons make good points?
No, and we pointed this out. Listen, he thinks if he repeats a lie enough, people will believe it, right? So the man that shot Liberty Valance, just, when the legend becomes the fact, go with the legend. He had 42 points, but when matched up against Rudy Gobert, Ben Simmons was 3 of 7. He had 9 of his 42 points. Not impressed. How'd we do?
You pass.
There it is. That's the winner. Put it on the board.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live. Knock, knock. Who's there? Lame week. Lame week who? It's Big Ben's Lame Joke of the Week.
Hi, Big Ben's Lame Jokes of the Week. These are all submitted by listeners. If you would like to add to the unpaid, underappreciated joke writing cartel of the Maller Militia, you can send your jokes in care of BenMallerShow@gmail.com. Put jokes in the headline. You can send them anywhere, anytime. You can send them now. You can send them tomorrow. Just have to get them in by early in the day on Thursday. Otherwise, they will not make it on the show. All right, here we go. Hear the music. I hear Roberto. I hear Eddie. We're in good shape. How does Lizzo plan to leave her mark on the world?
I don't know. How does she plan to do that?
With sinkholes. So, Surfer Todd, the comedian. What was Lizzo's favorite Tom Hanks movie?
Big?
Yes. You've heard that one before. That's JD in Boston. Lizzo's favorite hockey team growing up?
Oh, I should probably know this. The Whalers?
Yes, the Hartford Whalers. Eddie, you're very good. All right, why did Lizzo become an astronomer?
I don't know that one. Why did she do that?
Well, to test the Big Bang Theory. That's an easy one. It's all those from JD in Boston. How did Lizzo get a giant iPad?
I don't know. How did she do that?
She sat on her iPhone. It's Eric in Iowa. Eric from Iowa. Why is Lizzo's dessert orders like some stoppages in an ice hockey?
She likes icing on them.
Oh, you've heard that one too, Eddie. I guess we got to come up with some new Lizzo jokes. That's George in Rochester, Minnesota. Why did LaMarcus Aldridge retire?
It was a heart issue, I heard.
No, his heart just wasn't in it anymore.
So that's kind of right.
Bill from Iowa. Did you hear about the homeless guy who snuck on at USC?
I did hear about that. Our friend Petros told us about that.
Yeah, big story. Petros had the scoop on the radio in LA. They figured something was off, Eddie, when he kept asking Clay Helton, PayPal me money! Couldn't quite figure it out. Every time he would go back to catch a punt. It's a Bill from Iowa. Did you know a reporter got a live rat in the mail from Dave Kingman back in the day?
You told us that story yesterday, I believe.
Yeah, or as Weed Man calls it, DoorDash. Bill from Iowa. So good, Bill. So good. Unbelievably good joke right there. All right. It's possible Tiger Woods may never play professional golf again. Where could he still have a career on Sundays, though?
The NASCAR circuit?
Yes, you've heard that one too. That's Surfer Todd, the comedian. The punchline assassin has returned. What do you call a homeless man catching punts at USC?
I don't know. Tell me.
A walk-on. There you go. It's just Josh in Cincinnati. Did you know with all the new gun laws, they say only criminals will end up having firearms, Eddie?
Oh, is that right?
It's good news for Urban Meyer's players there. That's it's Gary from Youngstown, Ohio. Well, big, big news that the Ben Maller Show may be visiting Amish country sometime in the future.
Yeah, I heard you mention something about that.
Yeah, Dick and Dayton will provide the music. Doc Mike will bring refreshments. And Tammy in Montana will pull the buggy. So, Gordon in Tacoma.
Gordy also Shirley?
No, it's Gordy in Tacoma. He also sent this one in. Gordon in Tacoma. This is Tammy's rebuttal. Gordon in Tacoma was so fat when he was young, Eddie.
Oh, how fat was he?
The priest told him, let's just be friends. Wow. Oh, jeez. All right, that's not right. What's the difference between Aussie Momentum's jokes and his manhood?
What's the difference?
Nobody laughs at his jokes. How did beer drinking Brian and know that half pint was the woman for him?
How did he know?
When she only came up to his waist. There you go. That's just Josh. What did doctors find at the bottom of beer drinking Brian's liver?
Oh boy, I don't know.
The worm. So, just Josh there. Coop, you got anything here, Coopaloo?
I don't.
You don't? All right. Coop's out for now. See if we can find something. What is Doc Mike's favorite reference book? This is from Dave in Mill Valley.
I don't know. The Yellow Pages?
No. He likes the Encyclopedia. Yeah, he's a big fan of that.
Eddie's is better.
I don't know. Why did Rachel and Montebello stop taking the pill?
I don't know. Why?
She started singing instead. Wow. Come on, Eric. That's not right, man. That's not right. She's a lovely lady. My apologies to her. Did you hear that Coop's girlfriend is thinking of leaving him because of his obsession with poker?
No, I did not hear that.
Yeah, he said she's bluffing is what he said. Yeah, that's it. Just Josh in Cincinnati. What do you get when Roberto takes a Friday off?
What do you get?
Really lame jokes, Eddie. Really, really lame jokes. This is from Just Josh in Cincinnati. Did you hear that many citizens in Florida were hoping that the septic pond with the leaky dam would flood them?
Oh, really?
Yeah, apparently they were wanting it to wash away the smell from Weed Man Hippie, so they were trying to get that.
No, that smell's never going to go away. Yeah, you can't wash that smell out.
Milkman Mike in Colorado. We have a bunch of Sir Scratchoff jokes. How is Sir Scratchoff like a lottery ticket?
How is that? How is
you're he? You're pretty much guaranteed a loser. That's just Josh. What do Sir Scratchoff and the state of Arkansas have in common?
I don't know. What?
They both like to roll inbred. Come on, now that's not right, Josh. Come on, man. It's just Josh in Cincinnati. All right. Why do you've heard this one before? Should I even read this one? Because you're gonna, you know, we've all heard this joke. Why do ducks fly upside down? You know that one.
I don't know that one.
Oh, really? Okay. Why do ducks fly upside down over Sir Scratchoff's house and truck?
Why is that?
There's nothing worth crapping on. Aussie.
Are you back feeding the ducks, by the way?
I have not fed the ducks in a while, unfortunately. I need to get back out.
You think they wonder where you've gone?
No, I don't think they think about me at all. But they, when I show up, they it's like, what was that movie? The
Birds?
No, not The Birds, but it was kind of The Birds, but it was the animals just follow you around. The birds just follow you around.
That's my dog.
Jumanji. It was like Jumanji. I get a parade of birds. All right. Why don't we pause for the cause here, and we will have, do you want the Brian Fenley radio roast? Would you like the Deshaun Watson radio roast? What do you want, Eddie? You make the call here.
Well, that is a tough call.
Yeah, Brian Fenley or
I guess
Watson.
We've had a lot of Deshaun stuff. Let's go for Fenley.
All right. Very awkward person that works at the company here, Brian Fenley.
He's a good guy.
All right, we will have the Brian Fenley radio roast, fake news Fenley, and all of that right around the corner. We'll get to it. We will do it next.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Ben Maller Show weekdays at 2 a.m. Eastern, 11 p.m. Pacific.
And the jokes continue by request from Eddie Garcia, the Brian Finley radio roast. Finley came in here when Eddie was away the other day and tried to bogart the show and was a spectacular failure. So that led to the joke writers to have a field day. What did Manti Te'o say when he found out Brian Finley has a girlfriend?
I don't know. What did he say?
She was mine first! Eric in Iowa. Why did Brian Finley keep failing his public speaking classes?
I don't know why.
Every time he gave a speech, Ben kept interrupting him. That's why. Well, here's the thing.
I wonder what that feels like.
He couldn't handle it. See, you handle it, Eddie. You just keep going. you interrupt Brian one time, and it's, oh, my God, it's like 27 minutes. All right, what do Brian Finley's ego and a lion have in common?
What could they possibly have in common?
They both have to be tamed. It's from Eek in Roseville, Minnesota. By the way, I did send Coop a bunch of jokes. I don't know if he wants to use any of those. What two groups of people can fit comfortably in a broom closet?
I'm sure one of them is the Finley Fanatics.
Well, it's all, you're right. It's all members of the Finley Fanatics, as well as anyone who's ever requested a David Gascon cameo video. They can all fit side by side there. That's from The Weapon. The Weapon sent that one in.
David Gascon?
Yeah, what gets blown up quicker than a Blair phone call?
I don't know, what?
Brian Finley's girlfriend on a Friday night. Bill from Iowa. All right, why did Brian Finley's girlfriend break up with him?
I don't know why.
Well, apparently his updates last longer than some other things there, Eddie. That's Kurt. Kurt from Earth sent that one in. why was Brian Finley born late?
I don't know why.
Apparently, his doctor had to give a 27-minute update before delivery, so it'd be appropriate there. So just Josh in Cincinnati who sent that one in. Did you know Brian Finley's girlfriend likes Bad Boys?
Oh, really?
Yeah, when they first met, he was breaking the law by being within 500 feet of a Chuck E. Cheese. Wow. So Gary from Youngstown, Ohio. Boy, Gary, he brings the flamethrower. He does not hold back. He does not hold back. All right, you know how Brian's girlfriend did something on their first date that she'd never done before, Eddie?
I didn't know. What did she do?
She got to sit in the front seat of a car. That's enough Finley jokes. Coop, you got anything over there, Coop?
Yeah. How do you kill 50 flies at once?
Yeah, I don't know.
You slap Weed Man in the face. That's from JJ, bro.
Why was Weed Man arrested for failing to appear in court?
Well, because he failed to appear in court.
No, he told the judge that he wouldn't show up unless he was paid his appearance fee. So God. That's why. Judge said no to that. I don't know. We have a few Deshaun Watson jokes. We have some time. So how do you know that Deshaun would be a bad investor?
How do you know that?
He traded his birthday suit for a lawsuit. That's not very good. That's Inca Terror, who sent that one in. It's Big Ben's lame jokes of the week. Why has Deshaun Watson started smoking pot?
I don't know why.
To help him prepare for the big joint. Big joint there. That's Eric. Eric in Iowa. Let's see. Oh, I can't read that one on the air. On second thought, I better not read that one. Why is Roger Goodell going to suspend Deshaun Watson?
Why is that?
Well, he's in trouble for deflating his balls, Eddie. That's a violation. That's Chip from Maine. Very funny man, Chip from Maine.
I love her balls.
Did you know growing up, Deshaun Watson was influenced by fairy tales?
I did not know that.
Yeah, when he grew up, he was always looking for a happy ending. And So Tom from Fullerton. Coop, anything else there stand out?
Nah.
Nothing else. Coop said, no. Okay. Did you hear Deshaun Watson never wanted his massage therapist to feel uncomfortable in his hotel room?
Oh, really?
Yeah, he always told them to take their hat and jacket off. That's what he told. That's Surfer Todd. Surfer Todd the comedian. Oh, these guys. All right, let's see here. What do Deshaun Watson and the cheating Astros have in common?
What do they have in common?
They both have gotten in trouble for banging things or something. I don't know. That's Rick in Northridge. All right. What Guinness World Record did Deshaun Watson, what's he about to set here?
Tell me.
Most money lost playing pop a shot, Eddie. There you go. That's from Chip from May. Lame jokes of the week.